Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is a scripture lesson from 1 Thessalonians that was read just before the hymn. Dear fellow redeemed, in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The study of classical languages was once the mainstay of a liberal arts education, and they were also a key element in the pre-ministerial programs of our church body. But classics, unfortunately, has recently fallen on hard times. And one indication of this is that if you enroll in a graduate program in classics at a university, you will not have to stand in a long, slowly winding line to the department's registration table, and you will also not have to be concerned about a section or a course closing out before you've had your chance to register for it. With that said, I was quite surprised to learn recently that a new biography of Cicero has won literary awards in Great Britain and Italy, as well as making it on a major bestseller list in the United States. After all, who would be interested in Cicero anymore if you're not interested, perhaps, in classics? But Cicero was one of the great politicians during the waning years of the Roman Republic, and was an unsurpassed master of the Latin language and also of public oratory. In the beginning of this biography, the author reminds the reader that Cicero was a novus homo. He was a new man. This was a title given to an individual who did not come from the upper crust, patrician class, or family in the city of Rome, but who still had enough means and enough ambition to run successfully for the highest political offices and finally become a member of that most prestigious group, the Roman Senate. A new man, a novus homo, was one who had risen from the lower to the highest ranks in the society of the day. Well, there is also another term that is appropriate to Cicero. He was educated as a public speaker at a time when the goal of such an educational program was to transform an individual into a bonus vir, a good man in a moral and ethical sense. The Roman writer Quintilian, whom Martin Luther said he preferred to almost all of the other authorities on education, wrote in his Institutio Oratoria about 95 AD. He said, "We are to form then the perfect orator, who cannot exist unless he is first a good man. He has to be a bonus vir." And that idea goes back certainly to Cato the Censor, who around 200 BC coined the expression bonus vir loquendi peritus, a good man skilled in speaking. And Cicero was an individual in whose person these two terms or these two concepts came together. And I mention this because I think that these two terms, understood in a Christian sense, also converge in our text and are also two terms that must converge in the life of every Christian and most certainly in the life and person of every pastor. We know that St. Paul, the author of our text, was a new man, a novus homo. That's what he became on the road to Damascus, when God changed him from that accomplished, proud Pharisee and an enemy of Christ to become that humble apostle born out of due time and the church's greatest evangelist. He had become something what he was not before. And St. Paul clearly understood what forgiveness of Christ for even the worst of sins means. and who repeatedly risked his life to spread the gospel without question. Without question, he was a good man before God. I think that St. Paul understands the Thessalonian Christians in light of these same terms. He clearly seems to acknowledge them as new men, new people. He says that they were chosen by God who loved them. God chose them to become something they were not before. St. Paul says they had been filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, who gave them a deep conviction regarding their faith. The Holy Spirit gave them a great faith in Jesus Christ that they did not have before. They personally experienced what it means to become God's people from once not having been his people. And Paul says that they were loved by God in Christ Jesus. And once living as old Adams, they now lived as new Adams, or to use the Latin term, novus homo, new men. If Cicero was able to change his residence from his childhood home in the countryside outside a small town of Arpinum to buy one of the grandest and richest mansions on the Palatine Hill, where only the rich and the powerful lived, the Thessalonians knew what it meant to change their citizenship from the old Jerusalem to the new and heavenly one. They became new men. Cicero did not accomplish this meteoric rise by himself. He and his family pulled strings and used the influence of higher-ups whenever they could. And so St. Paul says, the Christians in the city of Thessalonica didn't turn from worshiping idols to serving the true and loving God and living God, or from being a lost and condemned people to become people redeemed by Christ himself. He says they had the power of the Holy Spirit that was preached to them by Paul himself, and the power of that Holy Spirit came to them through the words of the gospel. They were changed by the power of God, not by what they themselves had done. But not only did these Thessalonian Christians become new men, but they also became good men or good people. Paul says they were producing works of faith. He says their labors were prompted by love. He says they were enduring in the faith because of the hope that they had in Jesus Christ. And he also says they had become models of the faith, not only in Thessalonica, but throughout the entire region of Macedonia and Achaia. Their faith was so evident that it became known almost everywhere. They were serving a living and true God. That's what it means to be a good man, a good person in Christ. They were people who had their sins washed away in the blood of Christ, and who then kept the commandments in love for God and for their neighbor. That's what a spiritually good person does. But then there's the question, what about us? Does St. Paul's description of the Thessalonians fit us? Are we noi homines, new men, new people? Are we boni vires, new men, good men, good people? Do we see ourselves as Christians because we have been chosen by God, not because of what we have done? Do we live lives of faith because we are so moved and enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit working within us and comes to us by the power of God's Word? Do we see ourselves serving in the ministry because of a love for God and for our neighbor, rather than a desire for self-fulfillment or self-satisfaction? do we see ourselves as persevering in the faith? Because we are empowered to do so by the Holy Spirit. Or as St. Augustine says, we have received from that grace of God known as the gift of perseverance. Are we new people? Are we good people? We pray God that we are. Later in his life, Cicero wanted someone to write a biography of him while he was still living. And he wanted that biographer to describe him in such a way that it would be clear to every reader that he was one of the greatest politicians and one of the greatest leaders that Rome had ever seen. I suppose he wanted to take credit for having risen in the social ranks of Rome and have accomplished a great deal in his life. You and I cannot take credit, however, for becoming new people and good people in Christ. A mid-5th century bishop by the name of Valerian penned these words in one of his homilies. He said, "Clearly, he who moves about puffed up with pride never passes a day without his own or another sin. Pride is a vice of cheapness and an indication of ignobility. Nobility of soul does not know how to be puffed up. May we learn the nobility of soul to give God all credit and all glory for what we have become, new people and good people through faith in Christ Jesus. May God grant it for his sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus."